It's time for Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast with nationally recognized nature writer and award-winning horticulture and nature expert, Bill Finch. Bill shares his knowledge of conservation, natural history, and gardening. Let's talk about living and growing in the Deep South with your personal garden and nature consultant. Here's Bill Finch on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. It's an Alabama Sunday morning. Have you noticed that it's getting dark at 8 o'clock? that shadow of night is extending into the day. Days are going to get shorter now. And it's getting shorter to the point that it reminds you there are only so many summers. You get to really enjoy those long days. And there's only so many August when you get to enjoy that special light of August before it declines into September and October. August light, it's out there now. I'm thinking a lot about what happens this time of year. And one of the things that happens that we tend to ignore is the jelly palms are fruiting, for example. Lots of plants are beginning to fruit, the elderberries, the jelly palms, they're beginning to mature. And we just ignore them. It's too bad. A lot of great things out there that are worth our attention, worth picking, worth thinking about. Ooh, I'd love to talk about palms, and maybe we're going to talk about that today because we don't talk enough about palms. But I do think that on the 1st of August, I'm always thinking about timing. And we talk a bit about timing, but I want to remind you that your success in the garden is always going to depend on your timing. It's as almost as important as what you plant. Now, there are some things you can plant. It doesn't matter when you plant them on the Gulf Coast. They're not going to do well here. And there are some things you can plant that it almost doesn't matter when you plant them. They're going to do well. But there are many things that, if you're going to be successful, it's all about timing. We talk a lot about tomatoes. And all about the timing. And it's not one time that makes tomatoes successful, but there are two very particular times that you've got to plant your tomatoes almost regardless of what kind of tomato you plant that are going to be really integral to your success. But here's this season when I am particularly attuned to the importance of timing and also to the problems of timing, because if you're going to get ready for winter, if you're going to get ready for all of the greens that we can do in October, November, December, January, February, this wonderful season of eating out of your garden, this wonderful season of flowers that you can have in your garden that you couldn't have otherwise, you're going to start planting now. You're going to have to start thinking about it now. And it's one of the really, really important timing issues. I always have to stop and think about it. I always have to take out my pencil and start, or at least take out my fingers and start counting backwards. And then I got to go look things up to make sure I understand, God, how long is it going to take these guys to fruit? And also, what difference is it going to make that the actual day length is declining now? Not increasing, but declining. And is that going to make a difference? And you bet it does. So we have to start thinking about all these things. And so I want to talk a little bit about the timing of August. Because August becomes a really important time in your garden. And a really important time for starting seeds. And the growing conditions are going to be just ideal for a lot of flowers, a lot of vegetables, mini annuals that we can't grow well otherwise between September, October, November, and into the first part of December. And you're going to get a ton of flowers. You know, nasturtiums are going to be great. They're going to be great coming up here. Now, you're going to have to start nasturtiums inside because they like cool temperatures. That's one of the tricks of the timing. They're going to be great. But you're also going to think about things like cabbages and broccoli and kale and collards and certainly things like chard. If you haven't tried chard and all the perpetual spinaches, they're absolutely delicious. They're wonderful things to have in the garden. You have to think about things like kohlrabi, which is a fun thing to have, a really nice thing to have. And you have to think about mustards, which is a really wonderful crop to have in winter. You're going to have to start thinking about things like, even lettuce. If you can't think of anything better to put in your salad, at least have some lettuce, I guess. All of these things are going to be really good for us. Oh, and I shouldn't forget parsley. Good heavens, I can't forget parsley. And I shouldn't forget fennel. I love fennel. I love balming fennel. It's a great thing to have during winter. So all these plants, but when do we start them? When do we start them? So I'm giving you a heads up now. If you're on the Gulf Coast, you still have a little bit of time, but you got to start thinking about it right now. If you're farther north, you got to think about them right now. You got to get those plants out. And count backwards. And you could say, okay, I really want them to be maturing in November and December and January. And that's fine. But I want you to be aware of a couple of things when you're counting back. One is timing and the day length. And we have to remind ourselves over and over again that December 21st on thereabouts is the shortest day of the year. Day length is very short. And when there's that little day length, it doesn't matter about temperature, it doesn't matter about greenhouses, it doesn't matter about anything else. What's going to matter is how much sunlight your plants are going to get. And they're not going to grow worth a toot. They'll survive. They'll taste great. They'll look good, but they're not going to be growing. They're not going to be fruiting. They're not going to be flowering. So if you're going to get those plants up and ready to go, you've got to get them started in time for them to begin producing lots of foliage, or in the case of broccoli or cauliflower or any number of other plants, lots of buds that you're going to be eating. And you have to give them time to do that, and they're not going to develop. So basically, we're going to start counting back. I have to remind myself. I'm going to start counting back on November 15th, November 20th, even on the Gulf Coast. Because after that, I'm losing daylight, and I'm not going to get a lot of growth. Now, I may be able to keep my cabbages going. In fact, I will. And they'll actually hold really well during those short days of winter in the garden. Just fine. Just perfectly. But they're not going to be growing much. And your parsley and everything else, your broccoli, is all going to be doing really well. But you really want to count back from on the Gulf Coast from about November 15th to November 20th. It's not too much different even farther north. I would say you're going to get the really colder temperatures coming in farther north in late November. Your first frost in Huntsville may be as early as November 1st, thereabouts. So you have to think about those things, but they'll survive the cold. It's not the cold that's your problem right now. It's the day length and the timing of getting these plants ready to go in for the cool temperatures of September, October, November. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about that and about how to make your plans better.
along about 1825. I left Tennessee very much alive. And I never would have got through the Arkansas mud if I hadn't been a-riding that Tennessee stud.
FM Talk 106.5, home for plain living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast. Let's talk about living and growing in the Deep South with Bill Finch. Call 251-343-0106.
Yeah. If you're not getting ready to plant stuff, you're about to miss out. So this is, we're coming up on a really critical season for getting things into the garden. And we talk a lot about vegetables. Sorry, I like to eat. And I love eating what comes out of the garden, and I talk about it a lot. But there's many other plants that are going to be great for this fall season, but you got to get ready for them right now. And I don't know where to start, but let's just start with some flowers. Can we? Snapdragons. I can't tell you why I love snapdragons. It's just, I guess, because I'm 8 years old. I'll be 8 years old when I'm 80. And I love to see those little snapdragons snap. We have some new fancy ones that are a little prettier from 80 miles an hour, I guess. But when you're up close and you can get the old-fashioned snapdragons with that little jaw that moves and the little mouth that moves, and they're so cool. And they're so pretty. And you got to start them now. And they can actually bloom on the Gulf Coast all winter long. But you got to get them started right away, because they're going to need these longer days to get up and get ready to bud. And if they're in bud in October, you're going to get lots of flowers, probably all winter. Delphiniums, I wish we could still do those. I think we've basically taken ourselves out of the market for that. But starting delphiniums is a little bit of a pain, but there's some great delphiniums that do great over winter. Petunias are going to be a lot easier. And if you're thinking about petunias, you don't think about them as a summer crop here. You think about them as a winter crop, as a fall and winter and spring crop. And in many winters, not every winter, but many winters, the petunias are going to do quite well, even over winter. Begin to have fun thinking about petunias. And it's not too late even for zinnias. And some zinnias that look a little corroded, trying to deal with the humidity and the rainfall, and they might even look a little anemic. They're going to look really good in September and October, along with marigolds. And man, is there a huge selection of marigolds you can have fun with. But you do need to start thinking about growing these things now. Now is the time. Just get ready for them. I think even cosmos, I think you can do many cosmos. Now, there's some plants that, as we get to these shorter days, they're going to start flowering earlier than they would have normally, because precisely because the days are shortening. And so they're not going to put on as much height, and they're going to start flowering earlier, but that's okay. You can still do those, and they still do fine. Did I mention nasturtiums? Because I love nasturtiums. I'm addicted to nasturtiums when they're in season. You don't have to have them all year long, but the flowers are so good, not just for looking at, but for eating. And you know, the good thing is you can bring them in and enjoy them on the table, because they're beautiful there. And they have an exceptionally great taste, just unbelievable. Mix them with everything. They're really great. Don't cook them. Too delicate to cook, but throw them in a salad. I mean, I could have a salad of nothing but nasturtiums. It would be great. You can mix some other things with them, though. It would be good. If you've got nothing but lettuce, ooh, add some nasturtiums to it. Unbelievable. All these flowers, really, you need to begin thinking about them now. Let's talk about those starting seeds. And one of the issues many seeds, a lot of your mustards, a lot of your collards, a lot of the brassicas, however you want to say all that, everything, the broccoli, the cauliflower, the coal crops, the kohlrabi, the collards, they all will germinate pretty well in temperatures, even in the upper 70s and even in the 80s. They probably are not going to germinate that well if your soil temperatures are in the 90s. But you know what? You got your house. So the simple way to get those started is to put them in the house. And this is true for a lot of other plants like nasturtiums. Nasturtiums, you may notice, don't really germinate that well outside, even if you throw the seeds outside during summer, but they will start germinating rapidly in late September and October when the temperatures get right. Just they may not have enough time to bloom. But start them inside. Start these seeds inside in the cooler temperatures. They're going to do just fine. It's going to be just about the right temperature in your house. If you don't, I hope you don't keep your house at 68 degrees, which is going to make your transition to the outdoors miserable. But, and for you and your plants. But, you know, a good house temperature of somewhere between 75 and 80 degrees is fine for those plants. And they're going to do just great. Germinate them. Make sure they get sunlight as soon as possible. Let me tell you something else about getting these plants ready to go. So you've got really hot temperatures outside. You're going to have one cool night. Enjoy this cool night. It's going to be moderately cool on the Gulf Coast. It's going to be much cooler farther north, maybe even temperatures in the upper 60s, temperatures in the lower 70s, which, you know, that's good enough to get tomatoes going, and your beans might kick back in, and some other things that were kind of struggling will actually do well at 72 degrees when it gets down to that at night. But these plants need sunlight, and it's too hot during the middle of the day for many of these plants to do well. So let me make a suggestion as much as you can. Find a good window that's getting plenty of sunlight this time of year. And because the sun is not as low on the horizon, because it's still pretty high, you need to choose carefully where your windows are to make sure that sunlight is coming through the window. And then set a little table up for them. Set them up there. But you can also put them outside if you think about it, and if you really want to make it work, by putting them outside in the mornings when you're on the south side of your house, when it's still cool, when it's still in the temperature range that they really like, and bring them in when the temperature gets into the upper 80s. But let them take advantage of that morning sunlight and the morning cool and get them going that way. They'll really appreciate it. The amount of photosynthesis they're going to get, the amount of photosynthesis they're going to be able to do because of the amount of sunlight coming in unfiltered is quite amazing. So think about putting those plants outside during the mornings, during those cool temperatures. When the temperature gets too hot, they can't actually use sunlight very well. They're not using the sunlight as well. They're not using it as efficiently, at least most of the plants we're talking about here. They're also going to struggle with some of the ultraviolet light problems. So midday is not a great time to have them outside, but mornings are great. Late afternoons are great if they're cool and you got a good breeze. But get those plants started. Get them started now. And have them ready to go. Does this make sense for your garden? Let me know if it doesn't. We'll talk more about how to get those plants started. But this is the time. It's a great time to be starting plants in your garden. And just a whole suite of things. What do I need to give you a list of the vegetables again? Let me do that again. So we've got broccoli. Oh, we've got cauliflower too. And we've got collards. About time to get started with them. Kale. About time to get started with that. Cabbages. Well, there's so many kinds of cabbages. Let's talk about them when we come back.
Sugar magnolia, blossoms twirl. That's all handy and I don't care.
Saw my baby down by the river.
Knew she'd have to come up soon for care.
FM Talk 106.5, home for plain living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast. Let's talk about living and growing in the Deep South with Bill Finch. Call 251-343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. Gulf Coast Sunday morning, Alabama Sunday morning. I'm thinking about the timing of things. I'm thinking about, it's so hard to do. I know it's hard to do. Because you're out there complaining about the heat and all you can think about is how hot it is. And I'm saying, think about how cool it will be. And that's a fun way of doing it. You know, I used to think, I remember when I was in high school and we didn't have air conditioning and nobody thought it was a huge deal, but those classrooms were muggy and hot in August and September. And I would think about cool things. I would think about things that would happen during the cool weather. And I would think about snow. isn't that interesting? Thinking about snow. And I'm just saying it is a relief. If you're out there stressed about the heat, if you're feeling like it's too muggy, your relief is thinking about the cool vegetables that will be coming in during the cool season. And it's a good time to get them started. I think if you're in Mobile, it's just about the right time to order. Get everything set up. Get it ready to go. You don't have to plant right away, but it's getting close. You'll probably want to plant about the middle part of August. Start planting in the middle part of August. I think that's a good time. If you're going to do things like snapdragons and marigolds, I'd start them right away. No need to wait on those. Get them going. Petunias even. And most vegetables you're going to be able to wait on just a little bit, somewhere again around August 15th. If you're farther north, you're going to need to be planting already. This is the time to get them ready. Because your cool season will be here a little bit sooner, you might as well take advantage of that, get it going, so that it'll be ready for that cool season. So broccoli, cauliflower, collards, kale, cabbages, fennel, parsley, a whole suite of things. And there's a lot of others I'm leaving out. Mustards have gotten harder. I don't know if you've noticed, but mustards and turnips have gotten a little bit harder because of the golden margin beetle. They can be a little tricky, but I think that in general, they do better this time of year than they do in spring often, because the golden margin beetles don't really like those hot temperatures. And a lot of times you can get your plants going. You can get them doing really well. And they'll actually produce better in fall, because the golden margin beetles haven't built up populations yet. And they could be a little hard to manage, but not getting into that. I want to talk about cabbages. Because they have become a bit of a mainstay in my kitchen. And I used to get them, as everybody else does, from the grocery store. And grocery store cabbages, compared to most things you can get from the grocery store, are not bad. I think you can do some really great, wonderful things with cabbages at home. I have a lot of cabbages either have little tolerance for the heat or little tolerance for the cold that comes later. And I'd like some that have a little bit of both. One of the cabbages that I suggest you try, if you're going to go for a long season cabbage with good flavor, it's a traditional cabbage, is Charleston Wakefield cabbage. And I'm not sure what Charleston, I think it's probably Charleston, West Virginia. But they do seem to be fairly heat tolerant. And they seem to actually get started in the gardens pretty well, grow pretty well. Takes them a little longer to develop than some other cabbages, but the flavor is great, and they hold well during the winter. Charleston Wakefield cabbage, a good cabbage to grow. The New Jersey Wakefield, the dwarf Wakefields, not so good. Not quite as good. I think they have little tolerance to the heat. I've been very unsuccessful with those. They've been failed. There are a lot of other hybrid cabbages that are also quite good. Catarina, I guess it is. Excuse me. You make sure of that. If I have it over here. No, it's Catarina cabbage has been really good for me. It's another good one. Catarina produces so quickly and so early that you really don't have to worry about starting it super early. You can start it a little later. I would start Charleston Wakefield right now. Look on your cabbage. See how long it takes to develop. I don't know, and I'm trying some others. I'm trying Red Ace, which should tolerate heat pretty well and should tolerate winter cold temperatures pretty well and should hold in the garden. We're going to see how that does this year. We're going to see how it does. But look at the dates on your cabbage and time your planting so that so that you're getting them coming in as the weather cools, but before the days get too short, because they're not going to head up. If they haven't headed up by November 15th, you can just about guarantee you're never going to get ahead on that cabbage. They should have started heading up a little before November 15th, November 20th, at least, to get a good head on that cabbage. The cabbages that don't have time to head up during November are basically going to go to flower when the days start lengthening in spring, more than likely. So you're just not going to get those to head up. So you want to do your timing just right. Think about if it's 100 days. Count back from about November 15th. Brad, just do that. November 15th, even though you're going to have some more days of warm weather, and even though they'll not be killed by the cold, it's not going to be an issue. But what is going to be an issue are those shorter days days are getting shorter now every day. So we got to anticipate those really short days, around 9 or 10 hours, depending on where you are in the state, that come in fall. Bruce, thank you, Bruce. Bruce has prompted me. And Bruce says, what about strawberries? I got a few in pots. They're making a few runners. What size pots do I need for mature plants? You know, this is a... Growing strawberries as perennials can be a tough thing. And Bruce is going to try it. And what size pots do I need for mature plants? You know, Bruce, tell me what kind of strawberries you have. Can you tell me that? Because that's going to determine what size pot you need, really. If you're going to grow strawberries, and I think they're probably worth growing because it's getting harder and harder to get really good strawberries. And it's harder and harder to find good strawberry plants. There's some places that I'm looking for, and I'll tell you about them. I haven't ordered them yet, but you want your strawberries to come in you're generally going to have to buy them as plugs. That's what I recommend. You're going to have to plant them in fall. If you plant your strawberries in spring, almost anywhere in Alabama, you're going to lose out. Plant them in fall. That's the time to plant them. There's some great varieties. I'll try to talk more about strawberries next week. But yeah, you need to begin anticipating those. Bruce, tell me a little bit more about what type you have. If you know, let's go there for a second. There are two broad types of strawberries that you're going to get, that you can get now. And one is a Juneberry type. That is, it's going to be June bearing is not the right term, because actually in Alabama, it's going to be producing in late March, April, May, maybe a little bit in June, but not much. But it, you know, everything is written as if we all lived in New England. But the June bearing types are the spring bearing types. And then there's the ever bearing types. And those have gotten really popular on Facebook and other places. And people say, why would I want a strawberry that only produces once when I could have a strawberry that produces all year long? Well, good luck, my friends. Your strawberries are not going to produce all year long on the Gulf Coast. I don't know how well that works in places like California. Maybe it works just fine. But California has a very different climate. And what you want, and if you say all season long, it produces all year long in a place like Michigan, well, all year long basically is 4 months, which is about the length of time that you can get strawberries to produce here, just at a different season. So be very careful about getting those all season long, all year long producers. You really want the perennial producers, the whatever they want to call them. Don't go for those. You want to go for what you will see as June bearing strawberries, and you need to plant them when they're available as plugs, which is going to be late September, early October. There's no need anywhere in Alabama to plant those strawberries any earlier than the 1st of October, really. Just order your strawberries now. We've got some time, so we're going to come back and we're going to talk about strawberries maybe later today, but probably on a different day when we're closer to time to ordering. Because right now, I want us to focus on getting our vegetables and our seeds ready to go. If I cut the old blooms off my crepe myrtle, timing issue here. If I cut the old blooms off my crepe myrtle, will it bloom again before winter? Yes, depending on when you do it. And I would say, in general, it's going to be a little bit short. But yes, you can get an extra level of blooms, and you just want to do it right away. Be dark. And I think you might get a little bit of blooms again. It's the seeds, not the flowers, that are the problems.
FM Talk 106.5 with Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast. Call 251-343-0106. Here again is your personal nature expert, Bill Finch.
All right, welcome back. Gulf Coast Sunday morning, Alabama Sunday morning. Bruce, we were talking about when to plant strawberries, and it's coming up on the time to do that. And A-Bloom had a sweet sensation. I don't know if they're going to have it again this year. Be interesting to know what they have. Sweet Sensation is otherwise known as Florida 127. And it's one of the sweeter fruits coming out of the Florida Landscaping Program. It is Florida, sorry, Strawberry Develop Strawberry Genetics Program, and it's a good one. I would say that it is not. It was not developed, Bruce, for carrying over, but you're welcome to try it. I would take the runners off and plug them. Take those runners off, get them started in separate pots. I think it's going to be a fairly dwarf variety. Let's see if the breeder says anything about that. Yield, growth habit, upright with open architecture. So it's going to be a little bit spreading. But let's see, probably not too much. It's probably going to be bred not to produce, not to sprawl like some strawberries do. So you might not need a really big pot. I would say to get good production from a strawberry like that, you probably could get by. I don't think you could do it in a gallon. I don't think a 5-gallon pot's necessary. I think if you could find a pot somewhere in between, about 2.5 gallons, would probably be an ideal size. I think wider on the top rather than deeper would be good for those strawberries. So a pot that has that's a fairly wide mouth, about 2 gallons, holds about 2 gallons of soil, would probably be ideal for those strawberries. And each, a strawberry for each one, basically. Now, I would go back, and okay, Bruce, you play with this and see what you think. Try the strawberries that are left over from last year's production. You're going to, if they're putting out little runners and those runners have roots, if the runners are long enough, you can try to stretch them into a new pot and put them there. Get them to root there before you cut them off from the mother plant. You can also try cutting them off from the mother plant if they already have roots developed. It can be a little tricky to do that, and they often need a bit of humidity to really begin to develop. And you've got that, but you're going to have to be really careful about that. Really careful about that before you cut them off from the mother plant. So there's a couple of tricks here. You're going to be carrying diseases, which are almost inevitable with strawberries, to the youngsters. You're going to have really ideal growing conditions. Well, before you cut them off from the mother plant, you really need to get them rooted, which can be tricky. Otherwise, you're going to have to really keep them in a super humid place that's not too hot. Gets tricky. So, think about that, but also go back to A-Bloom and see, can I get Sweet Sensation plugs? Because if I can get them for, a decent amount, I'm probably going to save myself if I'm paying myself minimum wage. For all that trouble, I'm probably going to save myself a lot of problems. That it's going to be difficult to get those, get that strawberry to grow again. I don't want to talk too much about strawberry varieties right now because finding a source for these varieties is always the trick. So we're going to look around for sources. We're going to try to do a little research, and then we'll talk about them more. We still have some time. There's still time to order. You're going to want them in about the 1st of October and get ready to plant them in your garden the 1st of October or in your containers the 1st of October. They'll be more vulnerable in containers during the cold parts of winter, so you'll want to protect those containers. Don't let them get too cold. Yeah, and so B Dark is cutting off the old blooms off her crepe myrtle, and yes, there it is. You got the seeds already forming, and those seeds will take a bit of energy. And so you might get a second bloom out of those crepe myrtles, particularly on the Gulf Coast, for doing that. Jim's got a beautiful harvest of peppers. And he's saving the seeds. And it's quite possible those seeds did not cross, given the fact that peppers are peppers. Jim, you may get some crossing going on there, though, if you planted them pretty close together. So just a bit of warning. At a condo in Orange Beach, the storm ripped 90% off leaves off roses. They are around 2 to 3 feet tall, and some knock roses, other large petal roses. Knockout roses, I think, is what we're trying to say. Tropical storms will do that, you know, but I will also say that the humidity can also do that. And the salt may actually discourage some of the diseases that would normally occur with those roses. It's not unusual for roses to lose their leaves this time of year on the Gulf Coast. So I don't think the hurricane did any damage that wouldn't have already been done by basically living through summer at Orange Beach, and may actually have had a small benefit, just by the way, on those roses. They may come back pretty well. They might need a little bit of fertilizer to come back. You might consider that. But we're going to be moving into the September and October when, in fact, the bloom season for roses is at its best. Speaking of another thing, you know, we often think of roses as a spring. Well, if you're from up north, you think of roses as a summer thing. They're not a summer thing here on the Gulf Coast. And we have tended to think of them as a spring thing, but they're a moderately good spring thing. But they're a fantastic fall thing. So when you're preparing for roses, and particularly if you're using some of the traditional roses, which are so much more interesting and so much nicer and so much more fragrant than the knockouts, which are not knockouts by any means, they're just kind of knocked out, you know, in that old sense of knocking something out. They're okay. I mean, they kind of fit the bill. But, gosh, some of the older roses are really spectacular. But they're going to be, and particularly the China roses and the early teas can be very good. And very large and very spectacular and full of blooms. And the blooms are going to be magnificent. And the peak bloom time, I think throughout Alabama, the peak bloom time is really going to be this early fall. From September, October, November, and into December on the Gulf Coast. Just fabulous blooms. That's when you're looking for those roses to do their best. So you're okay. The storm hit at just the right time.
Sugar magnolia blossoms blooming. It's all that you have, don't care.
So let me be down by the river.
You should have to come up soon for care.
It's time for Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast with nationally recognized nature writer and award-winning horticulture and nature expert, Bill Finch. Bill shares his knowledge of conservation, natural history, and gardening. Let's talk about living and growing in the Deep South with your personal garden and nature consultant. Here's Bill Finch on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe it's Bertha, maybe it's Bertha that has everybody running for cover and a little silent this Sunday morning. But I want you to recover from Bertha. I want you to recover from Bertha and get started. Get started on your garden. Get thinking about it. You know, I someone sent in a picture. Who was that? Clint said, it looks like Bertha broke away the tip of West End of Dolphin Island. And that'll be, you know, that's something that happens with continuous wave action. It's probably going to recover. It may extend out. My good friend George is remembering the time that the West End of Dolphin Island stretched and joined Petty Boy. It was that way for a while. Funny things happen out there with the way sand moves around, and depending on how much sand is in the system and how much what the wave action is, it may repair itself. It may repair itself. Let's see. We're going to talk about things that people are harvesting and bringing in. A lot of stuff is beginning to develop for clay up in Birmingham. Rattlesnake beans and cherry tomatoes picked this morning. Bean trellis system very productive this summer. A king squash bloom seen this morning also. I'm beginning to get so many fruit. You know, here's a, I've already talked about this, but just realizing how much I love squash blossoms. If you listen, if you've got some of these very productive winter squashes, what you'll notice is there's a little fruit that forms even before it's pollinated. And even before the flower opens. And if you see those little fruits with the flower and you've got a productive vine, cheat. Cut it early. Cut that little fruit off with it. Cut the fruit in half. Put it in your pan, but I got a carbon skillet or a black skillet, and toast it a little bit. Put that squash flour in with it. It's just one of the most delicious things. Now, you'll need a few of them to make a meal. Put them in your omelets. They make a great taco, actually. And they're surprisingly meaty. You can add a little bit of mushroom if you like, but they're really quite delicious. Just something happening right now. But here's the thing. Throughout Alabama, we do have to think about the fact. And so I have taken today to berate you about thinking about cool weather. And again, it's the heat. It's the heat itself that should make you want to think about what you're going to be growing when the weather cools down. And so take this little opportunity to experience the heat and say, I'm going to cool down by thinking about the kinds of fruits I'm going to be and the kinds of vegetables that I'm going to be picking in October, November, and December. That's what you got to do. Because now is the time to prepare. Now's the time to begin looking for some of these vegetables and flowers. And I'm just going to go through the list again. And you add to it. You add to it. If you've got some others that you want to ask questions about or say, is this okay this time of year? Or I've already figured this one out. This one really works great this time of year. Marigolds, just incredible. Zinnias, nasturtiums, petunias, snapdragons, delphiniums, if you can find the plugs or if you know how to grow them yourself. Delphiniums are great. All these are great flowers to begin planting this time of year. And they'll do just fine. They're going to do just fine. Not just fine. They're going to be spectacular in October and November on the Gulf Coast. And they'll be great in North Alabama as well, too. You still have time. The vegetables. Gosh, the list is so long. Broccolis of all kinds. You call me and ask me about broccolis. Cauliflowers, fennel. I love fennel. I think John Olive loves fennel. I mean, there's some of us who've just really come to love bulbing fennel. What a great thing to cook with. They're great when you cook with them. They're great in salads. They're just so much fun. Fennel. I don't know. They're very simple. They do very well here. But not during summer. We start them now so that we can plant them out in winter. And I kind of stagger it. We're not planting them out in winter. We're going to plant them out in September. So we'll be able to eat them in November and December. Maybe even late October. Collards. You really need to start your collards fairly early. Unlike things like mustard greens and turnip greens, which you can start in the ground much later. If you really want the best crop of collards, go ahead and start them now, inside, in pots. There's so many great collards to work with. If you think that the only way to use collards is to cook them all day, you're not thinking about collards the way you ought to be thinking about them. There's some great collards. The yellow collard is a great one. Alabama blue is another one. There's some really fine collards. And one of the nice things about them is you can actually eat them like lettuce when you get them tender. You're not going to be able to do this when you buy them at the grocery store. Don't even try it. But the ones you grow in your garden are delicious. They're chocolatey. They're going to have a great flavor. Just that slightest little bit of chocolate bitterness. But it's just a little nudge. It's very chocolate-like, and they make a great, delicious salad. So does kale. Kale's another one to be growing and getting started. Kale, you can wait a little longer, but not too much longer before you get them started. I'm going to have to get mine started here pretty soon. The cabbages. Chard, we haven't talked about chard. They go under many different kinds of names. They're related to beets, which are also a really great thing to plant, to get ready to plant in the garden, preferably sometime in September. But chard is a leafy form of beet, if you will, and they're all different types. Some of them are called perpetual spinach. There's a variety of names for them depending on what place in the world they're grown, but chard is a great crop for winter. Distinctive flavor, really wonderful things you can do with it. Great in salads. Parsley. I use parsley all winter. I'm not missing parsley now, I will be frank, because I have so many other cool things. I got the basil. I got so much basil now. I could almost eat basil, something with basil on it every day. Plus we've got the edible cosmos, which is now producing, and we've got the edible perpetual spinach. All of this are things that we get ready for in spring for enjoying in summer. But now we need to get ready for thinking about what's going to happen in winter, and parsley is one of those things I got to get ready for. Lettuce, get your lettuce seeds too early to start them. Don't even bother starting them right now, but it'll be ready soon. Mustard greens, kohlrabi. And then we're going to talk about a couple other things that are at best experimental.
Welcome back to Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast with Bill Finch. Ask Bill about gardening and nature in your backyard. Call 251-343-0106 on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay. Listen, the list of things that we have to start thinking about now is so long. If we want to have a great garden in fall, in winter, and in early spring, And early spring is, of course, February on the Gulf Coast, and February really all throughout Alabama. And you can really enjoy some incredible, incredibly productive gardens during that time. The list of plants that is that can be grown in your garden is actually going to be longer than the list of things that you can grow during summer. It's just that way. Now, I'm trying to grow my summer list, and I have plenty to keep me occupied right now with summer produce. But gosh, the winter is such a great time. You just have to start thinking about it now. Jim, I think one of our Jims suggested, can I wait until September, till that first hint of cool in September? Yes. Yes, for some things. But you gotta, I'm getting you all stoked up now. I'm getting you prepared now so that I don't have to feel guilty if you're not gonna, if you're gonna ignore me and not do it. I just want you to hear that this is the time we need to start thinking. You gotta start getting your seeds ready. Again, if you're in North Alabama, it's time. And North Alabama means basically anything above Greenville. It's time to start thinking about getting those things sown and getting them ready to go. If you're on the Gulf Coast, you can wait a little longer, but don't wait too long. Because again, here's the important thing. The temperatures might be right, but even in Mobile, which has a relatively long day on December 22nd, the days are going to be a bit short and things are going to quit growing. They're just not going to grow. So you want to get them up and you want to get them growing. Someone asked, can I start these things in the ground now? No. Most of these plants need to be started in containers and then planted out when it's cooler. It's a big advantage we have over our ancestors in that we know how to grow things in containers. And they don't have to be big containers. They can be little containers. If you're tired of buying plastic containers, I use the little cloth sleeves. They work really well. You have to water them a little more, but they actually have more soil volume. And you don't tend to overwater, and you can easily manipulate the soil level in them, and it's really, they're really good. But start them in containers. This is the time of year to do it. It's, the ground's going to be too hot. You're going to have too many bugs and pests right next to the ground there. It's just, and you, they're going to be out in the middle of the day. And what I'm trying to encourage you to do right now is to start these plants inside, which they're going to like. Put them out in the mornings. Give them plenty of sunlight. If you've got a good window, as the sun begins to decline, you're going to have more windows that have good sunlight. If you don't have any eaves on your house, that's a problem in and of itself, but it might be good for getting more sunlight. If there's any questions about how this works, let's answer them now. Things I forget to talk about. Goodness gracious, I'm so embarrassed. How did I forget to add radishes to the list? Now, radishes, you want to get the seeds on. There's no need to grow a radish in a container. You can sow them directly in the ground, and you still have a little bit of time to do it. I would start mid-August. Great time. They will come up in mid-August, and you'll start having radishes all fall and winter long. It'll be some of your first pickable greens. It's always a good thing to do. Radishes, great. And I forgot arugula. You know, arugula does great in fall and through the winter, and some varieties of arugula will actually survive the winter. They're pretty neat that way. You can start selecting varieties that of arugula that will survive the winter quite well throughout Alabama. So arugula is another great one. And then, of course, things like garlic, you're going to have to get ready to plant them. You're going to have to order it now, and we can talk a bit about what types. But always, I always remind you, that your best garlic is going to be the turban garlics, T-U-R-B-A-N garlics, and things like Thai fire, Thai purple, blossom, lotus. These are garlic varieties that you should look for because they're going to outperform almost anything else you can grow on the Gulf Coast. They're going to be very good. There's some other garlic varieties that I've been playing with that work surprisingly well given the families of garlic they're from. Romanian garlic is one. I'm not sure how well it's going to do everywhere on the Gulf Coast. It did okay for me. And it's doing okay in much of Alabama, a really nice garlic. It tends to like a lot of winter chilling, but it seems to do okay without it, at least in my experience. And there's others that might work for you, but just go for those turban garlics. Go ahead and order them. Get them in. Creole garlics are supposed to be great. I always have problems with Creole garlics. I think it's probably the moisture. And I think they are susceptible to moisture problems, but they're worth trialing. They're worth playing with, but just do the easy thing. Do the thing that I guarantee you're going to have success with, which is the turban garlics, things like Thai fire, Thai purple, lotus, blossom. Those are great varieties for me. You should try them. Just so many things to get ready for. Are there things that kohlrabi. I shouldn't forget kohlrabi. You know, it's a really cool plant and a really cool and useful thing during winter and something really nice to have, kohlrabi. Is there anything that I don't recommend? And I will say that I have given way too much of my life to Brussels sprouts and they have not given in return. I just find Brussels sprouts in the end just totally annoying. And I, after this past year, I got some Brussels sprouts and some of them did okay. And I just thought, but man, I put so much effort to get this much out of them. I'm not doing this anymore. So folks, if you're in Michigan, I'm leaving all the Brussels sprouts to you. You got them. It's all your business. It ain't mine. I ain't messing with them anymore. That's just a word of warning to the rest of you. I think Brussels sprouts are really hard anywhere in Alabama. Some people do okay. I think they're not that good at all on the Gulf Coast. If farther north, they may do better. It just, they take so long to produce. And then, at any rate, I won't go into it because we're thinking about the really fun things that we could be working on this year. Let's see. Where do I procure the cloth sleeves? So, yes, if you, I don't have a good name for them. They're a fabric. That is used for seedlings, and they're made out of spun bond polyester, I think. But some are woven, some may be woven, but they're little, usually they can be various colors, but they're usually just plastic or woven. They don't feel like plastic. They feel like cloth. They feel like polyester pants, honestly. Which is about what they are, except they're in the form of a little pocket that you plant plants in, and I get them off the internet. When I get a chance at this next break, I'll look up the official names on the internet, which I always forget. I'm sorry. Other people will remember this right off the top of their heads. Ask me a plant name and I usually can remember. Ask me something that I bought on the internet and I'll forget what you call it. But it's a plant sleeve. It's a cloth bag. Not a big bag, but a small bag. And some of them are quite small. Basically, 2 or 3 inches wide. About 3 to 5 inches tall.
Welcome back to Plain Living for Alabama and the Gulf Coast. Questions on conservation, natural history, and gardening? Talk with Bill Finch. Call 251-343-0106 on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, so I said we'd talk about these grow bags, and they work really well for some folks. And that seems to be the official name, nursery grow bags. You can look for them. You want to look for the smaller ones, which can be a bit harder to find. It seems like the smaller ones that I'm getting are about 3 inches across, really not taller than 5 inches. You don't need that much. One of the things about those grow bags is they allow a lot of soil in there. And so there's a lot of room to grow. The roots of the plants, when they, rather than, you know, if you've gotten a pot and grown a plant in a plastic pot for any length of time, you'll see those roots start to wrap around the edges of those pots. And as you're getting ready for fall and you're growing these things out, that is a tendency for that to happen. But the nice thing about these grow bags is that when the roots reach the edge of the pot, they get pruned. They may grow outside the pot just a little bit. They'll poke through. But you know what? That's just fine because they're going to get pruned. They're going to get air pruned. And they're not going to keep wrapping. And that makes for a much healthier plant when you go to plant them. So I like those. They also drain really well. So if you do put them outside, which you're going to do at times, and they get overly wet, or if you don't get enough sunlight, which can be a problem if you keep them inside, and you overwater them, they're very forgiving that way because they don't tend to rot things as easily because they do dry out. It means you have to water them more, but that's okay. If you're prepared for that and if you're thinking about that. So, they're grow bags. It's not a requirement that you have those. It's just an advantage for some people. Someone asked me the question, I've got rattlesnake beans left over. Calvin asked me this question. Should I try planting them or is it another green bean, pole bean? Yes. Yes, I do think that it is probably a little late to do rattlesnake beans. I think you're going to want to look for green beans for this time of year that don't take as long to produce. This might be, in fact, I'm going to say that this might be the best time for bush beans. A lot of people plant them in spring, but there's some of the bushier beans might be really good. Some of the half runners can be very good. Some of the beans such as greasy cut shorts from the mountains can be pretty good if you plant them this time of year. Experiment with those beans and see which ones do the best. I think rattlesnake bean is not going to... The shortening days are going to make it want to go to seed. It's probably not going to develop enough size to really get you a good harvest. So go with a green bean that produces a little more quickly. Maybe even some bush beans could be good this time of year. Another good thing to grow this time of year are what we used to call Shelly beans. And October beans could be very good to produce this time of year. Beans that you would shell, and they can be very good. And we tend to leave those out and forget those. There you go. Bruce reminds me when to start cilantro. And goodness gracious, I tell you, it is such a long list, and I'm embarrassing myself by forgetting the obvious one. Cilantro. Thank you, Bruce. Oh, dear. Cilantro is another great thing that we want to be thinking about planting. I would say it's a little early, but not too early. One of the big problems with cilantro, in case some of you don't know, is that as days lengthen, it wants to go to seed really badly. So you plant cilantro in spring, and you've got to continually harvest the tops of those plants to keep it from going to seed. Now, I do that, and I get an extended harvest in spring, and it's really nice. But actually, I think cilantro probably tastes best and produces best in fall. And because the days are getting shorter, listen, because the days are getting shorter, it won't go to seed. Isn't that cool? So it's really great to grow at this time of year. I would say you can even try sowing cilantro straight into the garden, probably in late August, but I'd sow it in pots this time of year. I'd sow it in pots, and you can do another round of cilantro, whichever you prefer. And then you'll have cilantro all through fall, winter. And then in spring, it's going to want to start going to seed. So you can start another group probably inside sometime around February and put it outside in March on the Gulf Coast. So you can, it'll go a little bit longer that way. And just keep it picked off the top. But it's so easy now to start cilantro. Why am I telling you about all these things? Because you got to get the seeds now. You got to start working on it. Yeah. So, Bill, I'm down in the dumps about my squash. I planted Seminole pumpkins, Tromboncinos, and Patty Pan squash. They've been blooming their little hearts off for about 6 weeks, but have yet to form any fruit. Any suggestions on what I can do? I want fancy squash. Wait. That's the answer. You know, mine are doing that too, and it's always frustrating that you get this sort of build up and you're producing tons of male flowers and then suddenly boom. I don't know what factors play a role in that. It may be night temperatures, maybe an issue. It could be rainfall. I just don't know, but some squash will just produce a ton of flowers, but you got plenty of time for your Seminole pumpkins. You got plenty of time for your tromboncinos and plenty of time for patty pan squash. And my bet is you're going to have so much of them, you're not going to know what to do with them. It's kind of it's a good time to experiment with the patty pan and let me know, because we may be beyond the squash vine borer flights. They tend to have a couple of cycles. But we may be beyond that second cycle of squash vine borers, and so planting a little bit later with things like patty pan may avoid that. Your tromboncino and your Seminole pumpkins are basically going to ignore the squash vine borer entirely. Some people farther north may have problems with squash bugs, but they tend to outgrow even the squash bugs, which also tend to decline as we get into fall. But Ella, there is absolutely no need to be down in the dumps about your squash. They're going to be incredibly productive here very soon. You're going to get more than you know what to do with. This is just the right time for them to be developing. My bet is you're going to see some baby squash over the next 2 weeks. Just watch for it. You'll see. And again, what you're seeing now are mostly male flowers. If you had a lot of rainfall, and it depends. We've had variations in rainfall throughout our listenership, and I can't speak for everybody, but if you've had a lot of rainfall, that can discourage pollination, discourage movement of bees and other things. Also, make sure that you're not doing anything to discourage bees, and that your neighbors aren't, that they aren't spraying stuff that would actually kill the bees, because bees are, native bees in particular, carpenter bees are great, man. They are super pollinators. Bumblebees, they're out there moving pollen back and forth, and they can be really important in getting those things to mature. But you should see at least the little fruits beginning to develop here in the next couple of weeks. Just, I'm almost certain. So don't feel down in the dumps about it. You're going to have them soon. What else have we got that we need to talk about? When everybody seems stunned by late July and early August, to the point of near silence, that's not a complaint, is it? No. Going back to Jim in Georgetown. So, you know, the peppers are great. I want to talk about all the different ways I'm using peppers right now and how many different ways I'm cooking. There's so many good things to do with peppers. They may be actually more valuable in many cases than tomatoes. My tomatoes, I will have to say, are still producing, in part because I've gone with Santiago tomatoes. I go with Santiago tomatoes because no matter when they're produced, they're one of the best tasting tomatoes I've ever grown. But the second reason I go for them is that they tend to laugh at humidity and they grow like crazy. So they outgrow diseases. It's like my tomato patch is a jungle. It's such a hilarious thing because when I started experimenting with what tomatoes are going to survive the summer, they're all tomatoes that grow like crazy. And that meant when I was growing them in Mobile, in my side yard, one of my neighbors did me the favor of calling the plant police in Mobile on my yard because I had a plant that was taller than 3 feet. Or I don't remember what the thing is. There's some crazy, stupid rule, literally, in the law that says you can't have a plant over 3 feet. Or some crazy thing. Which is not enforceable and not enforced. I mean, it would be ridiculous. I mean, your shrubs are over. It's just silly on the face of it. The law is silly on the face of it. The attempt to enforce it was silly on the face of it. But let me tell you, these tomatoes are a jungle this time of year, and that's really cool, and they're producing a ton of fruit. So you got to have a big tower for them. That's really nice. Fava beans are one other thing that we ought to talk about. And I love fava beans. I love fava beans, period. I love the way they taste. I love making things out of them. I'm really partial to them. But they can be a little tricky, and I want to come back to that.
Have you ever seen me dead? Go on, people, be alive. Why wake up, woman? Take your legs off of mine. While I'm gone up the country, baby, don't you wanna go? While I'm gone up the country, baby, don't you wanna go?
You get Plain Talk on Plain Living. Let's talk about living and growing in the Deep South with Bill Finch. Call 251-343-0106 on FM Talk 106.5.
Did the plant police come in helicopters? No, they didn't come in helicopters, B-Dark. But They, oh, you know, probably in black trucks, black SUVs. I don't know. I can't remember how they drove up. Probably a city vehicle. But it was a funny, weird episode. I actually had to go to court. Yeah, I had to go to court because of my tomatoes. It's one of the most hilarious things. And it's just craziness. And when I got there, it was this crowded, super crowded courtroom, and I'm in the back. And I'm on the docket. You know, it's not a felony for growing tomatoes, I guess, but it was some kind of weird misdemeanor that the city decided. This is hilarious, isn't it? It's weird. And it would only have happened to me, and it happened to me because I've written about things before that probably people didn't like me writing about, and so they're going to punish me. So don't worry, you're not going to get taken to court over your tomatoes. But I'm back there in this crowded courtroom, and there's the judge sitting way up there. It feels like he's 100 yards away, and he's going over cases, and he goes through the docket, and he sends this message. Is Bill Finch here? I said, yes. He said, can you come here for a minute? I said, yes. I came up and he leaned over quietly to me and said, look, I got a problem with my tomatoes. I think the case got dropped. And the city backed off and said, So I don't remember what some silly, stupid compromise that we made, but it was one of those episodes. Can I talk about palms for a minute? So I said I wanted to do a pay on to palms today. I really think that palms are one of the things we don't treasure enough. Yeah, we overdo them sometimes. I mean, some people are crazy about them, but they're part of what we are. They're not all of what we are, but they're definitely part of what we are. They're so useful in so many ways. And the jelly palms are going to be out there producing tons of fruits, and nobody's going to touch them. And so they're going to start, right? They're probably right about now. They're beginning to ripen. And it's just incredible fruit. Really, so many different things you can do with them. Jim, have you made a wine with jelly palm? Jim in Georgetown. You should do that. But, you know, I didn't have my own jelly palm. I didn't need my own jelly palm because they were all over the city. Now, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be over in the New Parts and Foley, and they're not going to be in Fairhope as much because those are cities made by Walmart and Home Depot, and they're not, the landscapes are not going to reflect that. Only in the older parts of town and Daphne and Fairhope, and not in those newer subdivisions, but great. Beautiful fruit everywhere, and people just didn't take advantage of it, and it's such a shame. It's such a shame. And that's not just the jelly palms. There's the sable palmettos, which are great around your house. If you don't plant a tree right within the first 25 feet around your house, I would even be cautious, because Bertha was the mild one. I would even be cautious about planting it within 50 feet of your house, a tree that is more than, say, 50 or 60 feet tall. But palms are the last survivors of storms and hurricanes along the Gulf Coast. They will survive almost any storm or hurricane. It's amazing. And if they do fall, they're not going to damage your house. Palms. You know, it was strange. Well, palms are about Florida. Well, my God, my goodness, how many feet away from Florida are we here in Alabama? We're part of that same palm-rich environment. Even as far north as Birmingham, even in Huntsville, it is true you can grow palms. Not the native ones, maybe rapidophyllum, maybe the needle palm. But it's something we forget. Palms are very much a part of the culture here. They're very much a part of the ancient culture here as well. They've always been part of our environment here in Alabama, and they've always been used. They're abundant up until at least around Montgomery. We're a little bluestem palmetto, sable palmetto, sable minor, excuse me, is sable minor, however you like it, is quite abundant and growing in the streams there, and was, I'm sure, used culturally by people long before Columbus came. Cool stuff, palms. I'm thinking about them. Be on the lookout for jelly palm. Be on the lookout for thinking about things you can do with it. Is that okay? Can I do that? And then, while you're at it, be thinking about the things you need to be planting in the midst of this heat. While Jim in Georgetown is getting a good recipe for how to make wine out of jelly palm fruit and figuring out how he's going to get his jelly palm fruit, be thinking about what you need to be planting for fall. Because this is the time. It is the very heat itself that has to be a reminder. You're just looking for a break from the heat. And I'm going to say, think about those cool season vegetables. Think about all that long list of cool season flowers that we talked about growing that are great. Get them started now. Get your seeds. And just go ahead and order your seeds. Just do that. Just go through the catalogs. Order the seeds. Think about what you want to do. You call me back next week. Let's talk about all the details of planting. We can do that. All the remaining questions you have. I'm just getting you prepped. I'm getting you pumped up so that you're going to be ready for this planting season, which is August, which is a very important time. And the shortening days are a great indication that it is time to do it. There it is. So a few questions left to answer. Strange plant, but beautiful, by the way. So I'm going to look at this, but also another notice from Ted. By the way, cutting my Kogon grass short in the pasture killed it. I cut it to the ground twice a week, and it does. Kogon hates, Kogon hates to be cut short. It needs lots of sunlight. You might get Bahia grass in its place, which is some better. Not quite as bad. But yeah, it can be a problem. There is, lots of pictures today of plants, and Jim in Georgetown sent me a picture last week. I'm going to look at these plants over and try to let you know there are various kinds of vervain and verbenas, some of which are native, some of which are not. We're going to try to look through these, get a sense of which ones we're looking at. Ted sent me a really cool one, and we'll take a look at it and have that ready to go next week. So remind me to talk about that next week. And to follow up on what we're doing this week, because August is such a great time. Such a great time. We'll actually, by 8 o'clock, we'll be hearing the cicadas. I'm sorry, the katydids. We'll be back next week.